Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Darren Weeks here sitting in for Chris Gerner with 1 hour left here on this August 9th, 2004 edition. So glad to have you joining us. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 1-800-858-6582. 1-800-858-6582 if you have a comment about anything that I've stated. Maybe you don't agree with me. Maybe you question my sanity. A lot of people have, but folks, when you're dealing with documentation, nobody can argue with you. People who argue with documentation, they themselves become fools, and that's just the situation. I work with a guy who I've shared information with, and he tries to argue with me even after I tell him, hey, look, it's on the computer, I can show you. Well, I don't believe that, but he won't look at the information, you know. What do you do with people like that? Some people don't want to know. But, folks, all of this stuff affects your life, and that's what you have to understand. All of us are going to be profoundly affected by the information that's taking place, and it's difficult to understand what's real and what's not real in the society of lies. When they've woven so many webs of lies all around us, how do you weed through this? When the experts are saying that that pollution is causing global warming, when pollution is causing climatological problems, when pollution, you know, is causing a greenhouse gas effect, which is in turn causing global warming, these experts, who funds the experts? Many of these experts are gray-haired Marxist professors on college university campuses. How can you weed through these people? How do you know who's legitimate and who's not? How do you know what to believe when weather modification is going on all around us? I was up north about a week, what was it now, a week and a half ago? Anyway, I pointed out to my wife as I looked up in the sky and saw the chemtrails there on what was a pristinely clear day, and there were chemtrails going across the sky. And you could see, as they were getting bigger and bigger, they were causing clouds. And there was some rain that was being produced by these things. This is going on. It happens all the time in Michigan, and it's happening all around the country, as near as I can tell. Weather modification might very well be going on in all 50 states of the Union. And it's going on in other countries as well. And you got to keep asking yourself, why is this happening? Why are they tampering with the weather? We can prove it. We got the documentation up on AmericanExpose.com. www.AmericanExpose.com. You can go on the main page and look at a lot of the information. And plus, there's a separate section on weather modification with several more links. But this flood that's been going on in China. It says, meteorologists warn that the consecutive days of rainfall has made some of the rivers and reservoirs, both in north and in the south, reach their limits, and residents in these regions are urged to pay close attention to possible flooding. Meanwhile, some parts of the south, like the drainage area of the Huaihe and Hanshui rivers, and south of the Yangtze River, will become hot and dry and see temperatures rise to over 35 degrees Celsius in the next 10 days, reports said. The Central Meteorological Observatory said the ninth typhoon this year, Kompasu, has weakened to a tropical storm in South China's Guangdong province by Friday night and would have no more influence on the country. The State Flood Control and Drought Relief Headquarters said nearly 7,700 local residents had been moved from two areas over the weekend used to divert flood water when floods hit two tributaries of the Hawaii River after days of heavy rain. No casualties have been reported during the mass relocation, which was carried out in Henan Province. In the Henan Province in central China. Henan Province, folks. Okay, that's all I'm going to leave there. I got about halfway through that. Let's switch over to a BBC News article. It's headlined, China Rainmaking Creates a Storm. Relations between neighboring Chinese cities have become stormy over the use of controversial technology which encourages rainfall. The report says drought-stricken central Henan, the drought-stricken central Henan province has been using a method called cloud seeding, in which chemicals are shot at clouds, the China Daily reported. This is a BBC report, by the way. The method did bring rain to Henan, but not equally to all areas. Meteorological officials in one city accused neighboring colleagues of overusing the method, the paper said. The five cities of Pingdingshan, Zhuangmadian, I'm going to skip these names. They have all been suffering from drought, but were finally blessed with rain as a result of cloud seeding on Saturday, the China Daily reported. However, while Pingdingshan received more than 100 millimeters of rainfall, less than 30 millimeters fell on Zhukou. One Zhukou official accused Pingdingshan of intercepting clouds that would probably have drifted to other places. They, Pingdingshan, were still launching rockets. Apparently that's how they do it there. They were still launching rockets to make rain when they already had rain falling, he is reported as saying. Cloud seeding is a long-practiced technology which uses rockets, planes, cannons, or ground generators to fire particles, usually silver iodide, into clouds to encourage water vapor to gather around them and eventually fall as rain. So there you have it from the BBC and from China Daily. Was that flood that we read about, was that caused by weather modification? Who knows? I think it's interesting, though. And when we continue, folks, water is really important, as I already said. And more we're seeing water be charged for at the store. You charge for water. Various other places at your house. They're wanting to put meters on people's wells to charge them for water they pull out of the ground. Here's another one from July 18th. This is from the Deseret Dispatch. Cheat Creek Water Customs brace for emergency conservation measures. Dateline Sealand. It says there are no water cops peering over high desert residents' shoulders. No agency or business reprimands for people who water lawns at high noon or tickets for toilets that run 24 hours a day yet. But there are in Phelan hand-lettered signs that read, emergency water shortage, please conserve. And many customers of the Sheep Creek Water Company are aware of the crisis and mindful of their water use. Elaine Latola is a customer of the Sheep Creek Water Company and, like other customers, received a letter from the company informing her of the company's temporary restrictions on water allotment effective August 1st. She says, I've always used less water, she said, shaking her head as she looked at her water bill. The Latolas might be poster material for a lifestyle that is conscious of water conservation, but many people who live in the high desert are not. Demand on Sheep Creek's wells is not diminishing, and more people are using water for landscaping. The company relies on the slow melt of the snowpack in the San Gabriel Mountains to replenish its wells, According to Sheep Creek General Manager Chris Cummings, this year the snowpack was gone by March. Water levels in the company's wells are more than 50 feet lower than normal. Latola and her adult son used just over 400 cubic feet of water last month, well below the 2,000 cubic feet they're allotted. That is until August 1st, when their per-share allotment for all Sheep Creek customers drops to 1,000 cubic feet a month. The drop in water levels in Sheep Creek's wells have given owners of private wells reason to worry, too. Are you listening, folks? Owners of private wells are worried, too. On the north side of Phelan Road, just along Johnson Road, Waldo Lujan owns a 40-acre ranch with two wells. He just bought the ranch 6 months ago. He says, water is precious. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that there is water down in my two wells. Lujan grows Chinese vegetables, primarily leeks, that he exports to New York and Chicago. If they put restrictions on my water use, he said, they'll put me out of business. He said, if that happens, we'll have to close up shop. Lujan's crops are only watered once a week for 15 to 20 minutes, but the problems with the Sheep Creek Water Company alarm him. Like Lujan, the Latolas are proactive when it comes to water consumption. They have desert landscaping in their front yard, and their plants are on a drip system that runs for 10 minutes twice a day, once at 5 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. She explained, she says, we watch the level of water when we wash our clothes. And she said she does not have a dishwasher because it uses too much water. Well, dishwashers apparently are not sustainable. The drop in Sheep Creek's water wells levels hasn't just cued residential awareness. Phelan businesses also feel the pressure to conserve. The no pre-wash signs taped to the Phelan laundromat can be seen from the parking lot. Employee Terry Caressini said the business is taking the water shortage seriously. She said the Sheep Creek, the water company did ask us to cut back on water. Carloads of people come to their laundry to do their laundry, and the business has been mostly busy on the weekends, Caressini said, but the laundromat closes an entire row of its washing machines on weekends, another effort to conserve water. Interestingly enough, by the way, I'll insert this. I was on vacation up north, and there's a little laundromat there in St. Ignace in the Upper Peninsula. And we went down to that laundromat to do our laundry there. And I noticed every year they keep posting how the water bill has continually gone up at the laundromat. And they have several signs there, and every time they raise the bill, they post another sign so that the customers understand that they're raising their rates because they have to. And in fact, there was one year that I went there, and they said that they actually had eaten the cost of rising water rates. They ate a cup two or three of the times that it was raised. They didn't bother raising their rates. They just ate the they just let it bite into their profits. But this year, they said that if it wasn't for their involvement with 700 laundromats in various places, they would have to shut down, at least for the winter months. That's how bad it's getting, folks, as they are charging more and more for water. And is water really this scarce? Now, obviously, in the desert, don't think, though, because you don't live in a desert, that you're exempt from this. That's the situation. Richard Hall, president of the MWA Board of Directors and director of Division 3, said, whatever affects the West is eventually going to affect us. isn't that what I just said? Whatever affects the West is eventually going to affect us. The MWA is in charge of 4,900 square miles of water resources. Its coverage area abuts the area where Sheep Creek's wells are located. The agency's mission is to assure a stable water resources for sustained use. There you have it. Sustainable development. A stable water resources for sustained use. The agency estimates that a family of 4 to 6 people use about 325,851 gallons of water each year. About 70% of family water use, 228,095 gallons, ends up on sprinkled lawns or used for other outside irrigation purposes, explained Kimberly Cox, director of MWA's Division 1. That's too much water used for landscaping and doesn't factor into the MWA's plan for sustained use that reaches beyond the year 2020. Cox said, we're going to be okay through 2020, explaining that okay depends on a 10% conservation for residential users and means that MWA will be using all of its drawing capacity from the California aqueduct. She said, you can guarantee the cost of water will go up in the desert region. The 10% residential conservation is crucial, and though there are no guarantees, no water cops, that ensure water users will be able to conserve what equals about 32,585 gallons per household per year. To help meet water conservation goals, another agency comprised of 26 entities is working to popularize drought-tolerant landscaping. The Alliance for Water Awareness Conservation, AWAC, wants to educate water users, including new and existing homeowners and developers. Cox said, quote, we are trying to tell people we live in a desert and water is the most precious non-renewable resource we have. So that's the way that is. As we move along, I did some research also in other places. South Dakota has a water right permitting program, which I thought I would share with you folks. Water is a big one. Water is a really big thing to these people. And again, is there a shortage of water, I ask? And if so, where? How? How did it happen? How can there be a shortage of water when the whole earth is filled with water? The air you breathe is filled with water. How can there be a shortage of water? Where's the water going? Is this another created crisis? Is this the Hegelian dialectic at work? I think so. You let me know what you think. Call the number is 1-800-858-6582. Maybe you think this is all justified. Weigh in on it. 1-800-858-6582. Is there anybody listening tonight? Water permitting in South Dakota. This is from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources from their website there in South Dakota. It says, in South Dakota, all water, surface and groundwater, is the property of the people of the state. And whether you need a water right permit depends on the type of your water use. So, depending upon how you use the water, which was given to you by God, by the way, not by government, but you'll be asking the government whether or not you can use the water. The only type of water use which does not require a water right permit is domestic use, for now. However, even domestic use, they say, of water requires a permit if your water use exceeds either 25,920 gallons per day or a peak pump rate of 25 gallons per minute. Examples of domestic water uses are, number one, drinking, washing, sanitary and culinary uses by an individual or household. Number two, irrigation of a non-commercial garden, trees, etc., not exceeding 1 acre in size. Number three, stock watering. And number four, 18 gallons per minute for use in schools, parks, and public recreation areas. It should also be noted that water distribution systems using 18 gallons per minute or less do not need to get a water right permit. Water distribution systems include municipalities, rural water systems, suburban housing developments, etc. For a complete listing of what are domestic water uses and the definition of a water distribution system, please refer to South Dakota Codified Law 46-1-6. If your water use involves the construction of a dam or dugout, please refer to Building a Dam for information about permitting and other requirements. The following types of water use, again, this is South Dakota, folks. The following types of water use require a water right permit, regardless of the amount of water used, assuming the use is from a private water supply rather than a water distribution system. If supplied by a water distribution system using more than 18 gallons per minute, the water distribution system needs to obtain a water right permit on behalf of the system water users. Okay, so this is the types of water use require a water right permit regardless of the amount of water used. Commercial uses such as tourist attractions, truck stops, restaurants, campgrounds, motels, or any other type of business. See General Rule 74:02:01:01. Industrial uses where water is used for processing, cooling, dewatering, etc. Institutional uses such as churches, correctional facilities, etc. Irrigation use, municipal use, rural water system use, suburban housing development use, recreation use, fish and wildlife propagation. Well, that's pretty encompassing, isn't it? These are types of water use that requires a water right permit in South Dakota. If it appears you need a water right permit, you may download application forms from our website, and they provide a link. Isn't that convenient? How long does it take to get a water right permit? Following receipt of your completed application, a report and recommendation are prepared along with a notice to be published in your local newspaper. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, man. If your application is not contested in response to the public notice and the chief engineer is recommending approval of your application, then processing your application takes approximately 2 months. I don't mean to laugh, folks. This is just unbelievable. The length of time is also dependent on the number of other applications being reviewed by the Water Rights Program. If your application is contested, then the application needs to be considered by the State Water Management Board. More bureaucracy. As a result of being contested, the time needed to obtain your permit and may take considerably longer, since the board's decision may be appealed to the Circuit Court and State Supreme Court. And you folks think you live in a free country? Well, what happens if your permit application is approved? Well, following approval of your application, you are issued a water right permit specifying the conditions under which you may place water to beneficial use. In addition, the time frame for completing your project, 5 years to construct and 4 additional years to place water to beneficial use, and a priority date are assigned to the permit. The priority date is important because during periods of limited water availability, the oldest water right permit has first call on any available water. However, domestic water uses typically take preference over all water uses for which a permit is needed. Also, you will be provided a notice of completion of works form so that you may notify the water rights program when your project is completed. This notice informs us that your project is ready for an inspection to license your water use, which is the final step in getting a water right. After obtaining a water right, the water right remains in effect as long as water continues to be placed to beneficial use. Well, you know, that sounds like a lot like what they say about land and land use. You know, they'll determine whether or not your land use is beneficial. See, and if it's beneficial to you, well, that doesn't matter. See, because individual rights, individual liberties, do not factor into the UN system. You see, it's got to benefit everyone because we got to be concerned about the whole rather than individuals. And they say, for more information on water rights permitting, please refer to frequently asked questions, blah, blah, blah. That's South Dakota. South Dakota. Now we're going to move on to Wyoming. Wyoming Water Development Commission Water Management and Conservation Program. Again, this is taken from an official, from the official Wyoming website. They say conserving water is a function of water management. It is a tool to help meet the demand society places on a finite supply of water. Well, how finite is the supply of water, I ask? I keep asking this. How do we know that water is limited? How did water become limited? I mean, geez, how many years have human beings lived on the earth without this kind of government to regulate water use, and yet water has continually been recycled. It's been used, reused, drank, and redrank over and over again throughout the history, throughout civilized history, and even before. And now it's limited? Well, how did it get limited? Saving water is not necessarily, they continue, simply the result of water conservation implementation, but is also the outcome of water management influences related to history, custom, culture, and politics. As such, conserving water is not only an activity involving irrigation efficiency, low flush toilets, but an idea regulating growth, regulating development, they say, and environmental mitigation. In other words, it's about control. That's what it's about. That's what they're really saying here. The Wyoming Water Development Commission and the Wyoming State Engineer's Office, in partnership with the United States Bureau of Reclamation, initiated the development of a water conservation program for the state beginning in August of 1998. The purpose of this effort is to develop options for a water conservation program with targets of addressing water conservation practices, investigating strategies, evaluating methodology, analysis of implementation ramifications, evaluation of impacts, and identification of sources of assistance. The Water Conservation Program has developed a directory of assistance programs available to water users and the public. There are presently 23 participating local, state, and federal agencies and organizations, folks, the non-governmental organizations that provide educational, technical, financial planning, and policy assistance to water users and the public in pursuing voluntary water management and conservation implementation. Access this directory through the following address, and they give a link. The Wyoming State Engineer's Office, Western States Water Council, Bureau of Reclamation, Wyoming Area's Office, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service sponsored a Western Region Water Conservation Symposium in Casper, Wyoming, on July 12th through the 14th, 2000. And they give information on that. Folks, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to continue on the other side of the break. You're listening to American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, sitting in for Chris Gerner. The website is AmericanExpose.com, www.AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K and not a C. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us for the final half hour.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Next. Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
No, I never lie.
Never?
Well...
Next. Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
No, I never lie.
Never?
Well, there was this once.
Next. Have you ever stolen anything?
Well...
Next. Have you ever had adulterous thoughts?
Yeah, lots of times.
Hang on a second. I think the door is stuck. Could you jump up and down a couple times?
Okay.
Let's try this again. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Lots of times, before I became a Christian.
You trusted Jesus Christ to pay for your sins?
Yeah.
Mister, your penalty's already been paid. You're in the wrong line.
Oh, sorry.
Next!
I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior also.
Liar.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to American Exposé, ladies and gentlemen. I guess we didn't have the bumper music coming out. That's okay. This is Darren Weeks into the final stretch here of the broadcast. Continuing here with Wyoming, the Wyoming Water Development Commission. The State of Wyoming Water Development Commission is seeking professional services. This is a pre-qualification request for proposals number 0193-L. They're seeking professional services to perform a weather modification study, they say. Never forget, folks, weather modification and water control go hand in hand. Level 2 feasibility study, new development, weather modification study, they say. The consultant will be requested to assess the feasibility of conducting cloud seeding programs in the Wind River and Sierra Madre Medicine Bow Ranges for winter snowpack augmentation. The consultant shall analyze the climatology of the regions, including storm frequencies and characteristics, barriers, seeding potential, etc. Project designs are to be developed, including methods of materials, equipment, siting issues, operational criteria, and the evaluation of project results through monitoring and statistical methods. Cost estimates are to be produced along with the identification of the potential benefits to be realized, yielding a preliminary cost-benefit analysis. Required submittals and supplemental information. Prospective consultants and sub-consultants who have not submitted a statement of qualification to the Wyoming Water Development Commission or the Department of Administration and Information Purchasing Division since February 1st, 2003 must complete and submit 3 copies of the statement of qualification consisting of a letter. All right, I'm not going to finish this, but anyway, they're studying weather modification, and then we move on to Wyoming law, Title 9, Chapter 1, Article 9, under the heading of State Engineer. Qualifications. It says the state engineer shall have theoretical knowledge and practical managerial skill and experience which fits him for the position, and shall have at least 2 years' experience of engineering practice and expertise in the state, and shall be a registered professional engineer. It says duties and powers, representation of state and proceedings relating to water or water use. The state engineer shall measure and calculate the discharge of streams from which water is taken for beneficial purposes, commencing work upon those streams most used for irrigation or other beneficial purposes. He or she will also collect facts and make surveys to determine the most suitable location for constructing works for utilizing the water of the state and to ascertain the location of the lands best suited for irrigation. This person will also examine reservoir sites, include in his or her reports all the facts ascertained by the surveys and examinations, including wherever practicable, estimates of the cost of proposed irrigation works and of the improvement of reservoir sites. The engineer shall know the waterways of the state and the needs of the state as to irrigation matters. Suggest to the governor the amendment or enactment of laws, more control, to benefit the state. Now, what is the state? To benefit the state, are we talking about the people of the state? Or are we talking about benefiting the state? Interesting how this legislation is worded. And to keep in his office complete records of his work, observations and calculations, all of which shall be the property of the state. Interesting. The state engineer may appear and represent the state of Wyoming in any proceeding or hearing concerning or relating to water or its use, including congressional hearings and hearings before any department, bureau, or agency of the United States or any or of any state. Collection of fees. It says the state engineer shall specify a rule and regulation and receive the following non-refundable fees which shall be collected in advance for recording any water right instrument or certificate not otherwise specifically provided for, a reasonable fee not to exceed $10 per page. For making copies of any document recorded or filed in the state's engineer's office, a reasonable fee shall be assessed not to exceed $10 per page. $10 per page. Jeez. A reasonable fee not to exceed the amount shown shall accompany applications for appropriations for the direct use of the natural unstored flow of water from any surface water source except groundwater as follows. If water is to be used only for stock or domestic purposes, $50. Water used for other purposes, $100. A reasonable fee not to exceed the amount specified shall accompany applications for the storage of water as follows. For reservoirs, 20 acre feet or less, $50 each. For reservoirs greater than 20 acre feet, but less than 100 acre feet, $100 each. For all other reservoirs, $250 each. Secondary application supply applications, $100 each. Reservoir supply ditch applications, $100 each. A reasonable fee not to exceed the amount specified shall accompany groundwater applications. Domestic or stock wells, domestic or stock wells. 25 gallons per minute or less, $50. Monitor wells, no fee required. Isn't that nice? They'll monitor your wells without charging you, at least for now. Repealed by laws, 1992. Okay, that was letter C. All other wells or groundwater developments, $100. A reasonable fee not to exceed the amounts shown shall accompany all safety of dams plan reviews required or submitted in accordance with WS 41-3-308 as follows. For dams, you know what, this gets kind of technical. I'm gonna skip the dams, but you get the idea. And it has in this section also, again, folks, I'm dealing with Wyoming Law, Title 9, Chapter 1, Article 9, under the heading of State Engineer. These are the responsibilities and duties of the State Engineer. It says, weather modification, legislative declarations. It is hereby declared that the State of Wyoming claims its sovereign right to the use for its residents and best interests of the moisture contained in the clouds and atmosphere within its sovereign state boundaries. Gee, Wyoming is a sovereign state. Why don't you ever hear that? Although little is known regarding artificial weather modification, research and experimentation shall be encouraged. Although the ultimate use of modification methods is speculative, the application, you know, folks, they've been researching this since the 1940s. They've been researching weather modification since 1940s. Maybe they know a little more about it than they're letting on here. You think? The application of such methods should have proper safeguards and provide sufficient data to protect life, property, and public interest. Weather modification defines state duty of state engineer to gather information relative to experiments in the state. The state engineer shall procure, compile, and evaluate information relative to weather modification experiments and activities within the state boundaries. The term weather modification means attempting to change or control any of the weather phenomena by chemical, mechanical, or physical methods. Weather modification, permit required, issuance, duration, fee, report of activities, penalties for noncompliance. A. It is unlawful for anyone to engage in weather modification activities except by permit, prescribed and issued by the state engineer. B. A separate permit shall be issued for each experiment or activity. Permits are revocable by the state engineer. Permits are to be issued for 1 year from October 1st of 1 year to September 30th of the following year. A fee not to exceed $100 shall be charged for each permit issued or renewed. Fees received by the state engineer shall be deposited with the state treasurer to be placed into the general fund. A permit shall be issued only to a person who can demonstrate to the state's engineer's satisfaction that he has adequate qualifications in the atmospheric sciences. The state engineer shall promulgate rules and regulations necessary to implement this act. The state engineer shall demand and receive a written report in such manner as he shall provide, covering each separate experiment or activity for which a permit is issued. Any person engaging in weather modification experiment, in a weather modification experiment without a permit is guilty of a misdemeanor, and upon conviction is subject to a fine not to exceed $5,000 or by imprisonment for not more than 90 days. Says under the heading of weather modification authority to receive and expend funds purposes, it says the state engineer is authorized to receive in the name of the state any funds offered or available from any source and to expend such funds for the expenses of administering this act and for the encouragement of experimentation in weather modification by the University of Wyoming or any other appropriate state or public agency, either by direct grant, by contract, or other cooperative means. State not liable. Nothing in WS 9-1-905 through 9-1-909 shall be construed to impose or act any liability or responsibility on the part of the state, the board, or any state officials or employees for any weather modification activities of any private person or group, nor to affect in any way any contractual or other legal rights, duties, or liabilities between any private persons or groups. Again, now, Wyoming law, Title 9, Chapter 1, Article 9, State Engineer. There you have it. I'm going to skip this next section that I was planning on reading to you. We're getting short on time. Folks, we have a lot of information on AmericanExpose.com on weather modification. It's going on. And the point of all of this is that how much of this is being done, how much of it is experimental, what do they know about weather modification? I know many times these command and control people, these globalists, these people who seek to control us, they don't tell us they have technology until many, many years. In other words, when they finally get around to telling you that they have a certain technology, that they have a certain capability, the capability is a lot more advanced than they let on, or suggest that they might have it in the future. The New Order of the Barbarians, I mentioned this the last time I did a program on weather modification, they mentioned this in the 1960s. There's other research that I have done that reveals that weather modification has been going on, at least the experimentation began in the 1940s. I can take it back that far. Well, here it is now, 2004. It's been over a half a century since they first learned that they can create rain by using silver iodide or other methods. How much more advanced is weather modification today than it was back then? And you got to ask yourself, you can do a lot of things by changing certain aspects. The ionosphere has a role with the sun. Could they do something to the ionosphere and cause the Earth to heat up more? You know, there are natural cycles that the Earth goes through of heating and cooling anyway. And it could just very well be that we're going through a heating cycle right now. Maybe none of this has anything to do with what we're doing. I would say more than likely that's the case. And yet they never hesitate to seize on an opportunity to use as a crisis, to use as the Hegelian dialectic, the problem-reaction-solution method by which they get things done to further their agenda of control. And that's the important thing for us to keep in mind, is to avoid falling into the trap, to avoid falling into their dialectic, to avoid falling into the mindset of, well, gee, I guess they're right. We're going to have to curtail our freedom. Just the same way they do the same thing with terrorism, folks. Scarerism. Everything. Every time they turn around, they tell you, "Well, you're going to have to give up your liberties, because why? We can't have people directing their own lives. We can't let you have any privacy, because if you ever had any privacy, you might do something wrong. You might do something illegal. You might commit a terrorist act." Well, yeah, I guess you might. But it all boils down to individual liberty. And individual liberty is the most important thing in the whole world. And it's our job. It's our job as people that God has put on this earth. It's our job as parents, those of us who are parents, to protect this world that we've been placed in for a limited period of time. It's our responsibility to preserve what we've been given by God. No, it wasn't the government that gave you your rights. The government did not give you your rights. They were acknowledged in the Constitution, which is largely being ignored today. But our rights, our individual liberty did not come from government, and because of that, government cannot rightfully take them away. And it's our job to stand up. And folks, this is my peeve with the churches of today. Because it's our God-given duty, it's our God-given responsibility to stand up to these boogers and to tell them, no, you won't. You're not going to charge us money to use water, which was given to us by God. And that's what I got to say. We still have a few minutes left, folks, if anybody wants to call in and comment on any of this. Does anybody have anything to say? Is all of this, am I the only one that thinks this is important? Have I bored everybody to sleep? 1-800-858-6582 is the number. 1-800-858-6582. There's a lot of other information that I could share. There's current projects of Weather Modification Incorporated. This is a link, by the way, on the American Exposé website. You can get to this from there, or you can go to weathermod.com. It says Weather Modification Incorporated, Atmospheric Resources Management Technologies for the 21st Century. It's Weather Modification Incorporated's qualified staff, experienced superior equipment. This, by the way, is a company that modifies the weather. That's what they do. They say they've been active since the early 1960s. How many people have known about this? How many people know about it now? Eventually, the media will come around and begin to talk about it. But why aren't they talking about it now? It says WMI's qualified staff, experience, superior equipment, and proven success in weather modification operations and research around the world is unmatched by any competitor. You mean they have competitors? Sure, there's more than one company that is modifying the weather around the country. And yes, around the world, as we've seen in China. But I'm sure it's going on in many places. WMI specializes in the use of aircraft and weather radar, supported by the latest GPS satellite computer tracking systems. With extensive knowledge and experience in the industry, Weather Modification Incorporated is best known for its successful cloud modification for hail suppression and precipitation enhancement in the northern Great Plains of North America, and has been active since the early 1960s. The WMI track record speaks for itself. During the summer months, WMI operates more than 5 radars and more than 15 modern high-performance aircraft staffed by veteran pilots, experienced meteorologists, and radar engineers on cloud seeding programs around the world. Our clients include private and public insurance companies, water resource management insurance companies. That's interesting. Water resource management organizations and federal and state government research organizations. What are they researching? Project flight hours, 42,978.94 hours flown as of the 30th of November, 2003. They list a whole bunch of projects here on this page. Precipitation enhancement projects going on in Nevada, Idaho, North Dakota, West Central Texas, Morocco, places in India, hail damage mitigation projects in Alberta, Argentina, Greece, North Dakota. We were talking about that earlier tonight, North Dakota. They have research projects going on in Utah, the United Arab Emirates, and BAMEX. Weather modification, folks. It's big. Closing out the broadcast tonight, since apparently nobody's going to call. The New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology has a piece called Tampering with the Weather. It says, while workmen was reluctantly becoming a college professor, college president, scientists in a corporate laboratory half a continent away were preparing to modify the weather. Before July 1946, the famous observation that everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it, might as well have been a law of physics. Weather modification belonged in the realm of hokum until that day. Then, without warning or expectation, chance favored the prepared mind of General Electric Laboratory scientists named Vincent Schaefer, and cloud seeding was born. Although Schaefer's discovery was sudden and serendipitous, much of the research behind it has been going on at GE since 1940. Did you hear that? Since 1940. In that year, Schaefer's boss, Dr. Irving Langmuir, was approached by the U.S. Chemical Warfare Service to study the filtration processes used in gas masks. That entailed generating various kinds of smoke and studying their properties on the particle level. Langmuir, a Nobel laureate, and by all accounts one of GE's resident geniuses, had in Schaefer a hard-working associate who contributed greatly to the research. Langmuir and Schaefer continued with this and other aerosol-related war research until 1943, when they began investigating the properties of supercooled clouds as part of a study of precipitation static. This led them to the problem of aircraft icing, which was especially timely. Large numbers of aircraft were flying in icing conditions on missions that could not be delayed or aborted because of bad weather. They studied the problem on Mount Washington, New Hampshire, which experiences some of the worst winter weather in the world. When he was not shivering atop Mount Washington, Langmuir made extensive calculations describing ice accumulation on various geometric shapes and materials. Combining these theoretical results with field observations, the researchers incidentally obtained a good working knowledge of cloud structures and the growth of cloud particles. Their work led them to study exactly what happens when water freezes. Schaefer needed to produce a cloud-like conditions in the lab instead of seeking them in winter on a frozen, windswept mountaintop. So in 1946, he invented the cold box, a home freezer, GE of course, with a black velvet lining and a viewing light. By breathing into the cold box, he could produce a little cloud of water droplets that condensed from his breath. Like those in the higher reaches of a cloud, these droplets were super cooled below the freezing point, but still liquid. Being able to recreate these cloud-like conditions in the lab was a major practical step in cloud investigations. GE's public relations people were almost as proud of it as he was, although they were exasperated by reporters who insisted on calling his freezer a frigid air. Oh, folks, we're out of time. I didn't want to get started on this because I knew we were going to run out of time. But it goes all the way back to 1940s, folks. The manipulation of weather, the control of the water, the control of you and me. Well, thanks for joining us. And Chris should be back with you tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone. God bless you.